Here we are, standing on Adak, Alaska. Hi, fellow Adakians. It is a pleasure to be here today and to give you a tour. And you could say that we're here any time from 2007 to 2014. We're here somewhere in that time period. And we've got a Revolution Airlines, an old airplane here, prop airplane. It's out in the tarmac, and that is the proper term for it, by the way. Not a metal-type landing grating in the ocean, but just out in the pad here. So we may be getting inside that ship, taking a look at some of the controls and firing it up. It looks like it might have a little gas left in it as I scan the control panel there. That should be kind of fun. So, on my tour, let's see. I have to find the proper letters here. I'm going to be reading some letters from the guys, telling about the radio station, the ADAC Little Theater, and a variety of subjects. As soon as I can find all of my notes. But it was a ghost town. It looks like that they all shut out the lights and all gone. The last one here shut out the lights, and that was it in Adak, Alaska. FPO Seattle. The old wartime headquarters lies windswept and forlorn. The Willowas and the Aleutians, the 80-knot winds, have sandblasted and tortured the Quonset huts and barracks that once housed thousands of Americans. Soldiers and sailors, and before that, Japanese soldiers and sailors who left a note for the Americans when they left it for the American GIs, for the scarecrows. It said, "Rots of ruck," and the reason for that was because the characteristic did not pronounce the L's. And so instead of lots of, okay, but rots of rock was the joke there. Beneath the snow-covered summit of Mount Moffat, here lies a great and silent city of decay, half buried in the mountain tundra and the volcanic mud weathered and worn by the years. Living here, those have all departed from Norpac Hill in the last year of World War II. I was here, CT2 Weber. Actually, I was here as CTSN, and I worked in the kitchen for Verl in 1967, and that was an exciting time. And sleeping in the barracks there, the General Service Barracks at Communication Station Adak, Alaska. And that was pretty scary. My first experience living away from the mainland, from America. Taking a look at the Officers Club. The old Officers Club up the flight of wooden steps from Sweeper's Cove and Kulak Bay lies open to the weather. The gold peels. Well, the gold is peeled from the once bright navy stars in the ceiling of the bar and lounge, and the floors here are buckled. The dark rooms are redolent of parties while the wind screamed and snow flurries hid the peak of Mount Adagdak. A-D-A-G-D-A-K, that's Mount Adagdak. And we might take a hike up there and have a look at the lost airplanes and a bunch of stuff up there, up in the tundra. The winter nights in 1944, Captain Hooley Gearing's boys stole the slot machine so he could play it on his flagship while his destroyers were en route to bombard the Goupil Islands. And I'm reading from an article, Adak Ghost Town, from the website www.NavyCTHistory.com. Navy CT, as in communication technician, NavyCTHistory.com. Ghost Towns of the War survives in the Aleutians. Navy CT history there. So thanks very much for the articles. And it says here, On page 2, there is no monopoly of desolation on Adak. It is everywhere within a 40-square-mile area. Finger Bay, which once echoed day and night with the sound of riveting hammers and the hiss of welding torches in World War II. Finger Bay is silent. Only the wind howls here where the repair facilities of the 17th Navy District once healed ship's wounds is now a tangle of rusted steel, buildings askew, dreary Quonsets with rags of cloth flopping from their broken windows. The army warehouses on the flats near the sea, empty and racked by wind and time, swarm only with Norway rats. Scrap Savage lies in a rusting pile. Barbed wire still zigzags across the slopes. Near the beaches, at low tide, it impedes the stately progress of Emperor Geese. Oh, I'm listening to the snow and the rain on the window of this B-20. It's not a B-26. It's not that at all. It's a DC-6 is what it is. So we talked about the Willowas and how it was in World War II. And it was a treacherous time for the Japanese. Treacherous time. They just lost a lot of men. The Americans lost even more, I believe, due to the weather. They just weren't ready for this kind of thing, you know, coming out of the bars of New Jersey, hitting the beaches of Adak, and then up in the tundra, the cold, relentless wind and unforgiving terrain, secret holes everywhere. And, of course, you know that it's also a blessed time to be there. The army warehouses on the flats near the sea, empty and racked by wind and time, swarm only with Norway rats. Scrap Savage, salvage lies in a rusting pile. It's a rock-bound sentinel, that Adak, that so-called golden link in the chain of Aleutians. Once the island where the Northern Pacific War effort of the United States of America reached its peak in 1945, today it is one of the most remote outposts of the American power and American civilization. A dreary, windswept, snow-peaked island, a rock-bound sentinel against Soviet power. Its good harbor and airfield are a combination rare on the same island in the volcanic Aleutians and makes it almost as important today as it was in 1944. It was one of two American naval bases in Alaska. Kodiak was the other. Adak is the only United States military base, as much in the Aleutians, the Air Force and Army, and a small naval meteorological detachment maintain some military facilities on Shimya, which are shared with the Northwest Airlines. My friend Top Cat, or Tim Johnson, sent me a recording from Shimya. It was raining nicely. He opened the window and threw the mic out there, and on the other track played Cast Your Fate to the Wind with Vince Guaraldi Trio. So someday I hope to soon play that for you. The more you encourage me, the more I will make programs for you on radiodiscjockey.homestead.com. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is the other website, the Yava Yahweh dot name, N-A-M-E, slash ADAC, I assume, dot HTML. Adak, like all the Aleutians called weather factory of the world, is rugged and forbidding. It is often foggy in summer, windswept much of the time, and treeless. Around the house of the knoll, called Norpak Hill, a few stunted wind-twisted evergreens cling to live in volcanic soil. Or they cling to live, actually. The house once occupied by Admiral Fletcher is deserted. There went the slamming of the door, if you couldn't hear that. On the road to the Coast Guard navigation station, some unknown wag is collected in one 60-foot square. Most of the trees transplanted to Adak from the mainland during the war. A sign that towers above the tiny grove of Misappendorf evergreens reads, Adak National Forest. You are now entering and leaving Adak National Forest. Well, actually here in 2014, though, the Weyerhaeuser Adak Corporation has started a giant mill here, and they have the finger grabber ripper that tears the trees down and debarks them, and Now they got huge piles of lumber everywhere from that Adak National Forest that was towering probably over 60 feet at the time a few years ago. And then these trees were harvested, and warehousers, yes, they're padding their pockets with gold and silver from the land of the midnight sun. And you don't have to believe that part of the story. But those trees were 6 feet tall when transplanted, and they are, in 2007, this witness counted only 4 feet up to the top. It would have made nice holiday decorations, though, and made you feel very comfortable and cozy. These grim things of the war, dramatized by the stark backdrop of nature, with a saying, if you don't like the weather, just wait a few months. Icy Bering Sea to the north, the Bering Sea, the stormy Pacific to the south, the winds above, the hidden fires of ancient volcanoes below. These are the boundaries of the Aleutian Chain, which stretches from the mainland of Alaska to the tip of Petropavlovsk area over there in Russia, to the normal desolation of time and weather have been added the scraps of storms and earthquakes. Earth tremors and sometimes severe quakes are frequent in the Aleutians. Two buckled piers at Adak, sagging in deep setenary curves, are mute witness of one earthquake. Last winter, a gale breached the breakwater in 2006. A naval construction battalion hastily repaired it in the summer of 2007. But to the 3,000 Americans, chiefly servicemen and their dependents and civil service employees who keep the flag flying on Adak, and to the few hundreds in the rest of the Aleutians, perhaps the grimmest scenery is provided by the forsaken cities of World War II. The snow-covered peaks and the icy wind-swept water have a forbidding but inspiring majesty. But the rusting Quonsets, the abandoned warehouses, the scrap, the junk, weathered boards are depressing desolation compounded. Most of the Aleutians and many sites on the Alaskan Peninsula are marred by these ghost military towns. There are thousands of more at Gold Coal Bay, at Dutch Harbor, Umnak, Atka, Amchitka, Great Sitkin, Tanaga, and Shimya, and on Attu, or A-T-T-U-T, actually, Atut, and Kiska, once held by the Japanese as well. They probably regretted that. Another memory I'd like to bring up is, there's a lot of memories. The Bering Building back in 1967. Today, the doors are a little bit ripped. The windows are, some are broken, and the door into the Bering Building there that I once enjoyed the fine club upstairs, the Enlisted Men's Club, in 1967. But most of the Aleutians and many sites on the peninsula are marred as military ghost towns. Few of the better-built structures are still in use. And, of course, new quarters, a new hangar and control tower at Adak, modern barracks and recreation facilities are completed since the war. But most of the temporary buildings of WW2, abandoned and worn, now encircle the new construction with depressing, devastating power. A salvage contractor has stripped many of the buildings, but what cleanup and removal of the wartime eyesore has been accomplished has been done chiefly by military personnel, toiling slowly over the years at a seeming Herculean task. We got pictures here taken by a gentleman. See if I can come up with some pictures here in my hand if they don't get wet. And, no, that's not what we want. That's the Adak Little Theater. No, that's the radio spaces there. Yeah, I can't see. Here we go. Maybe this is... No, that's not the one either. Well, the heck with it then. I can't find it. Just finish this article that I was just on, and then we'll come up okay. Looking at the... don't you love computers? They're always They think they know more than we do. Taken from the New York Times, February 1959, February 13th of 59. And in Germany, the Soviet Union and England rebuilt cities, hide most of the scars there. In the gentler tropic climates, prolific vegetation has hidden the Quonset huts down there. Humid rains have rotted wooden barracks. The jungle hides all, but here in the Aleutians, where nature is stark and uncompromising, a desolate and unwitting monument to war, the ghost cities of the Aleutians promise to endure in the decades to come until wind and weather, earthquakes, tundra, and time gradually obliterate them. Well, I can hardly think of a guy on ADAC who is not great folk. I worked at Mighty 890 AM, AFRS, the 250-watt giant of ADAC Island, and I have some tapes of the show from 1967 on my website, radiodiscjockey.com. Look under the button there, 1967 category, and you'll find about a half a dozen or more ADAC tapes. Us guys goofing around and doing shows, doing TV slapstick shows that were the progenitor or the before Laugh-In. They must have inspired a lot of those writers to do Laugh-In. The crazy things, though, that people do when they're out there in the field, young people do when they're out in the away from home. Then, we were a group of communication technicians out at Communication Station in the shadow of Mount Adagdag. And out there near what I think is Andrews Bay was an old wooden water tower and a lot of remnants of World War II. In this tower, this wooden tower that was only, a few feet off the ground, 10 feet or less in the tundra, had inside, there was a trap door up there, and it was like a little cabin with no windows. It had two racks for sleeping and the trap door. And Smitty from Iowa, Smitty used to go out there, and he didn't, I guess he checked out at the registration there at the main OOD desk, but sometimes you could just go out alone if you were trusted that you could take the elements on your own. So Smitty took his frickin' chicken and all kinds of stuff to eat and drink, and he stayed overnight out there. He invited me to go out, but I was afraid the Russians or somebody would come along while we were trapped in there, and then they'd get us. I never had the nerve. But those they were probably milling around somewhere in their submarines out there off the harbor, or maybe way out a little farther, actually. Then there was, so that was the water tower, what I think was to the west side, which I don't know, it was that Andrews Bay. Some of you are a little more technical about details. Then there's Candlestick Bridge, a little in the center, north center of the island. Candlestick Bridge, you got a picture of it here, going across the Bay Bridge. A foggy cove where we ate and drank beer, and we dropped the beer out in the cove. The rain would be falling. We'd sit on the sand, turn on the AFRS radio station, and 14 of our guys in our Section 2, I believe it was, in 1967, would sit there and watch the rain and listen to the radio and talk to each other. Then we had a long night watch. That was lots of fun, too, and I'm just so glad we were able to be out there fighting the cause for freedom. We did a lot of not unethical, but unusual things we did out there. Yes. And then in these years, in this new century and all, a lot of people are just ungrateful about what all was done for them by our heroes of all the wars that helped us to get the freedom that we have, the independence and the freedom that we're unfortunately losing because of some very liberal politicians and the other ones too, the Republicans. They're all pretty bad, I guess, but there's a couple of good ones still around. And there's a lot of good old boys, a lot of you guys that I've met out there from all over, that are around the United States, that I worked with in ADAC as well as Kamisaya out in the Yokohama area of Japan. And I'm just very impressed by your fine quality. I'll put it that way. Good character. Good guys, church-going, apple-pie-eating Americans, yeah. Flag-waving Americans. That's all right in my book. I don't think you have to be a communist to be praised. Guy and gals who were there in ADAC as well. I think you guys really need to be saluted today. And thankfully that people are finally getting around to doing that, putting out special events for the veterans of the Vietnam War and the Gulf War and all these other wars since. And you can see how closely I followed history and television news. So I'm about ready to hang up my headphones and go to the great Diddy Bop room in the sky at practically 70 years old here. I wrote a letter to one of the guys who is in Northern California from Dunsmuir. His name was Terry, T-E-R-R-Y. And Terry, it wasn't a terrible time. We had a great time. And he was a nice person, an R-brancher, and well-behaved at the time. And then, of course, I mentioned Smitty, who was always going out there to the water tower and staying overnight. And he never did get caught by the Russians. No, he certainly didn't. So we have some letters from the website, ADAC Letters, from the CT website. And I'll just read a portion of them here. Having the permission from Bill, I believe it is. We'll tell more about that later. So far into the broadcast, we are approximately 22 minutes. And yeah, this is fun to be out here smelling the fresh air and feeling the cool wind on my lips and face and in my hair. I just enjoy it out here with my jacket. I've got my old blue jacket on here, and I'm trying to read these here letters. And we're going to step out into the airplane there and crank up the engine. And you'll hear mostly the sound of the motors, but and me babbling away with the camel. Well, let's see. I'll tell you what handles I use later on. With the web. Webs, I guess they call me. And you'll hear a little bit of the weather. So one man writes, and we'll get the name here. I think it's Marlon Osterhout. I was stationed on ADAC from 84 to 86. Beautiful pictures on your website brought back some great memories on the CT website. And I'll give that address to you later on if you missed it. Or you can zip back in the file. Guy from Kenyon, Minnesota. And perhaps that was Marlon from Kenyon. So we'll just start here. Okay. I was stationed on NAVFAC, ADAC, 71 to 73. In 72, my friend Linda arrived. We had a band. Oh, by the way, my band on ADAC in the late 60s was the, it wasn't the ADACians. Oh, wait, there goes my mind again. I'm sorry. It was, we'll come up later, okay? What was that thing? Well, it's on the tip of my brain. So anyway, fellow here, Marlon, they had a band called The Morning After with Mike Wold, Marty Smith, and Ricky Gambarda. Larry Ellert was our roadie. We ran into one of Linda's old high school chums from Iowa who was stationed up there with the Coast Guard named Steve Martinson, and he since passed away from complications in the traffic accident. Spent 20 years in the Navy. We spent and retired in 1989. I met a woman that we bowl with whose father was a CT at NAVFAC while we were there. Small world. And then it gives the email addresses there. Then there's Ron Williams of Schaumburg, Illinois. He writes, in 2003, Ron writes, I was on ADAC just long enough for a cup of coffee and install an experimental digital comm system in White Alice for Motorola. That was the month of 1968 summer. In that time, ADAC left a deep impression on me, and I often think of the RCA personnel that helped us so much and the VP-46 pilots we met living in the BOQ. But the CPO club was best of all. Driving up to the site was scary. Yes, I can imagine some of those roads and with the wind and the hail. Whoops. So, there goes my letter back here. Then from another gentleman here, from Charleston, West Virginia, Johnny Sayer, I believe it is, S-A-Y-E-R. To all of my friends who I couldn't remember, hopefully you'll remember me and email me and say hi. All the names have escaped my brain over the past 20 years. I must have bought at least $10,000 worth of stereo equipment on ADAC, mostly speakers, that we blew up at the Husky Club. Thanks for the memories. I never thought I would say this, but I really wish I could go back to ADAC just to show my wife and daughter just how blessed we were. Or he says, lucky. It was fun, though, except during whiteout conditions. And so I'm not sure in the letters here which person goes with which letter, but and it's not the website's problem. It's the way I copied it, and I copied these letters to take with me. So somebody from Charleston writes, being stationed on ADAC was the worst of times. The worst of times, and the best of times, I have to say. Anybody out there remember S&J's Music Machine that headlined the Husky Club for about a year in 1984 and 85? Myself and a buddy named Sean Kimes, K-I-M-E-S, who was also a radioman for the NAVFAC, were the two headliners. I'm also looking for some other buddies of mine. These names are Maria, well, anyway, gives Maria Otero, Gonzo Gonzalez, Robert Monks, all from New York. Sam Wilson, also a DJ at the Tavern. California Redhead, Shannon Arrington. And, well, anyway, the names Joe Burrell. And serving on the USS Blue Ridge and countless others. So a lot of good letters here. He says he was part of a crew that installed the cable lines to all the barracks in 85. And 85, really good time there. When the McDonald's first opened, I was there, and I couldn't get enough Big Macs once they were there. I remember we used to get the Big Macs on the Reeves Aleutian airplane, freeze-dried, and they would take them to the auditorium on Bering Hill and sell them for $5 apiece and sell them out quickly at the auditorium. I met some of the best people in my life in that little island, stationed at the naval facility, and was a radio man, third-class petty officer. I was also a disc jockey at the Husky Club for about a year. We played music on Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights and really had a blast up there. Then from John Armstrong out of, where is that? He just gives the coordinates of 61 North, 149 West, 149.35. I spent the greater part of the morning reading all the entries, thoroughly enjoyed all the photos and comments, brings back a lot of memories. I was a CTR1 and 2, or RC, and worked in shotguns in 65 and 7. Won an old black and blue 52 Chevy pickup in a poker game about the second or third night in the island. No one actually told me. The truck actually belonged to the big Malamute named Honcho. I was his driver for over a year. And just so many great letters. So I'll give you this website again, if possible. It's Bill's ADAC Guestbook. And, all right. I guess the website address is gone here. But how about one more letter here from Dwayne Bodvig of Lewiston, Montana. I was a personnel man, third class at Comstay from March of 59. And I remember the two hikers who died while hiking. There were two young officers and a warrant officer. The two young officers died, and the warrant officer made it. There was an investigation, and I had to type everything said. I also worked at the snack bar and later at the beer bar. And we used to drive lots of Lucky. And so a personnelman there at Comstay 59, 60. Wow, yes. I didn't hear about that. I could tell you some of my personal experiences here, and let's make sure things are going okay for us. While in ADAC and working on the kitchen crew, that I had the privilege of being up there at the, making the hill runs and working in the chow hall and in the galley. And then one day we were out in the cafeteria area there, and I think it was fall, and I looked at across the dining table at the other guys, and they looked back and said, "All right, who's shaking the table?" Well, it was one of those famous earthquakes, and that was pretty good. Yeah, that was awesome. So, there was the ADAC Little Theater. Maybe you took part in some of the culture there. I'll tell you about some of the shows they had. But some of the stars here in this particular year of 1967 were Rich Hunter from St. Louis. And he attended Southeast Missouri State College for 4 years in dramatics. He also worked in commercial radio for 2 years before coming to ADAC. His past roles were My Fair Lady, Mary Mary, The Wizard of Oz, Romeo and Juliet, and Anastasia. Thus far, Rich has escaped matrimony. That's what it says there. Then, Mr. Baker, in this play here, maybe I can get the name of the play. I don't. Who's Coming to Dinner, I think. Anyway, Joe Nesnow, or Negnow, I can't tell which, Nesnow. Mr. Baker was born in Louisiana, but hailed from New York City and points west. He attended Parker College in East St. Louis and Denver University. Joe is ADAC's most experienced actor, having had roles in 26 productions, many as the lead actor. Some of his credits, The Kane Mutiny Court Martial, The Women, Shakespeare's Henry the Fourth, Mr. Roberts, Stalag 17, Jane Eyre, Dial M for Murder, and Joe Nero is the co-founder of the ADAC Little Theater in the 60s and appeared in both of the past productions. He is married to Alice Nesnow, Nesnow, or at least he was then. That's a blessing. And he was directing the play. Joe is an air controlman and works in the tower. Here it looks like works in the lower. Oh, I thought that was lower ambulance. But no, he worked in the tower. Geraldine Barbara Fox as Mrs. Baker. Joan Wagner as Peggy from Manhattan. Joan Wagner there. Tom Adams from Sevastopol, California. Rich Hunter, as I mentioned. And Judith McDowell as Connie. Raised in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and attended the University of Tennessee. And she worked in public works as Miss Trouble Desk. That's Judith McDowell. And I think this year is 1967. Here's some more letters from ADAC messages from the ADAC message board. And then we'll go on to a little tour again of the comm facilities. Maybe the radio station, I don't know. Most of you folks are probably from around, worked around in general services or NAFAC. So here's a person who served on ADAC 1959 and 60. Was it Bob Love? Or no, it was Jim Holman. And he lives about in Dexter, Oregon, about 30 miles away from me. I'm living in West Fur, and or Oak Ridge, West Fur area. And the name is Webba. But Jim served in ADAC in 60. Also 59, 60 to 61, and May 75 to 77. He said, three of the best tours in my military career. He had some great duty, although it was called sea duty. You know, he got that sea pay. I think it was $50 extra. Some of the finest people who ever wore the uniform of the United States Navy served in ADAC at one time or another, officer and enlisted alike. I guess I never thought that. We sort of put ourselves down and goofed around a lot. Jay Holman at uswest.net was... I never did get an answer from him. I talked to him on the phone once, though. And thank you, Jim. Paul Denny's. I was at Comstay 47 and 48. Wow. Right after the Japanese there, just a couple of years. And has posted some old pictures on the website there, looking at CT website. Looking at some of the later pictures, I can't imagine how he endured the original living conditions. They had basketball with the civilians at the gym, at their civilian gym, and the best entertainment we had. In 48, that's how it was at the communications station, Adak, Alaska. Then NAVFAC, moving up to, 74 and 75, Mickey Jones of Cordova, Tennessee. He was an OT3 at NAVFAC from 74 and 5, and he likes the website. Thanks for putting it up. It'd be great to see some messages from others who were at NAVFAC. Gary Young, are you out there? Says Mickey Jones. So Janie Seeley, J-A-N-I-E. My father was stationed in ADAC, 68 and 9, so he must have been there when I was there. I attended kindergarten and first grade there during that time, and can remember it's being so windy that men would have to carry me to my door after school. I also remember standing outside during underground nuclear testing. Standing outside. Oh, I see, because of the earthquake danger. Your pictures of the trading post, totem pole, the antennas, and the wrecked airplanes on the runway made me squeal with delight. Much to my daughter's dismay, I'm going to get out the old home movies. ADAC gave me the opportunity to experience and see part of our country that most people never experience, and for that, I'm grateful. Trish from Sycamore, Illinois. My grandpa was stationed on ADAC and also did a short stint at Amchitka, 1943-5. I know in 67 there is the Amchitka Island 5 rock group. This is 43, and Trish writes that we are going over old books today after all my 37 ugly years, and I knew he was a CB and served in Alaska, but never realized that he was on an island too incredibly windy. So I decided that for something to do, I would learn more. And I haven't even gotten to the pictures on the website, but I definitely share with my grandpa. Thank you, Trish. I wish you would have mentioned his name, but he's an old-timer for 43 and 5, an old ADACian there. Boy, yeah, I knew Terry Bruno. Maybe we'll have a letter from that I wrote to Terry. Never did hear from Terry, but he was from Southern California, the coast there, Port something anyway, and we had a lot of fun. Terry was there as a DP on ADAC. Later he came to Japan, and he and I ran around on the pirate ship out there on Lake Ashinoko at Hakone National Park. It's all coming back now. So back here on ADAC, Jim Phillips from Deltona, Florida. I happened upon your site by accident and enjoying the pictures and messages stationed at AIMD. 69 to 72, the AI group support equipment. My wife Julie worked on the admin building, data processing division. We lived in the Kulak housing, two rows in from the beach. On few clear days, we could see houses. Let's see, no. I'm on the wrong line here, and my eyes are starting to tear. On the few clear days, we could see how Mount Sitkin smoking. Oh, wow, that must have been bad for us. We had quite a few pictures and slides during our stay. Our neighbors in the duplex houses were both CTs, Tom and Bonnie Seymour, and Denny and Carol Vandenberg, all great neighbors. We're going to look through our memory info and later post some on the site, perhaps to trigger somebody else's recollection. Notice some of the names in the message board that look familiar. Spent a lot of time at the Skeet Range and enjoyed ptarmigan and caribou and seal hunting. Yeah, I do remember the Ptarmigan Club. Yes, I think that was the name of our club there in ADAC, or was that the one in the Bering Building? I don't know. That's under the bridge, isn't it? A lot of water since, but there's going to be a whole lot more water yet. And so Captain Bolt's arc we used, Captain Bolt's arc to seal hunt and halibut fish. I remember taking our son, our cat, and blankets up on the hill to write out an A-bomb test and tsunami warnings. Never felt it because the wind was rocking the car too hard. We'd like to correspond with anyone who have an interest in the island. Jim Phillips, ASCM retired. And his address is jdp@n-jcenter.com. And he wrote that letter in 2001. And it's about on page 4 of messages to Bill's Adak Island website. And just a lot of really good, interesting information there. So, let's see, moving on to something about the Willawas by Leonard Feinberg. So that's coming up next. We're going to talk about a book that's for sale, and I'll give you the catalog number, ISBN 0-9710609-8-3. And back in 2003, it was on sale for $17 from somewhere. And he is writing to the U.S. Naval Cryptological Veterans Association website. U.S. Naval Cryptological Veterans Association, the USNCVA. And that's the one I'm on a lot. I'm going to add some new things, and they thankfully have linked to my website down there in Oregon on the old computer. I recall the feelings of being in Adak, Alaska, and I was excited. I like the outer doors. I like being on a critical weather, and excitement like that. The wind in your face, the wind and the hail and the snow and the rain and the fog. As you can probably hear outside the cabin of the DC-6 that we're in right now. Here on the ramp at Adak International. I recall the feelings of the first airline flights from, we hopped from Seattle and it went all the way up to Anchorage. Then we were the coastal route, while in the meantime our buddies were on the route Intermountain to the east of us. They came up on a TWA flight in Mountain, and they said, the turbulence was just really awesome. Wish I could have been on there, be thrown all over the air. And, you know, the plane bringing in the mail bag, Reeves Solution Airlines there, dragging that mail bag down in down the hall in the dorm, and then listening to the radio, AFRS 890 radio, Candlestick Bridge, drinking beer in the weather, while frying burgers on the campfire at Submarine Cove, I call that one. I'm not sure. I think it was Finger Hut Cove or something like Finger Bay. Terry Bruno later showed up at Kamisea and told me that he had been a DP while in Adak and that he had listened to me. I'd sure like to get some of his tapes of Steve Weber on the mighty 890 AFRS. Haven't seen any, but we did do some shows while on Japan and clowned around a little bit, I guess. Got some copies there. Probably got a lot of those deleted words, though. And lots of radio shows were made in the military. So as 1967 and 68, I was CTRS and Weber. And Frenchie Dupuis was our watch supervisor. And one day he had us down to his home down at the near the Bering Building. What do you call that place? I know, but I can't remember the name right now. The Lower Amulet, that was it. Lower and Upper Amulet was the area. And he played some amazing tapes. He had a tape from Boston, from WBZ Boston from 1959. And it was really a great solid gold oldies shtick that he was doing there, or rather playing. And really enjoyed that while sitting there with the guys drinking and with the Frenchie family. Had a good time. We also had a nice time up at the Quonset Hut, to our section hut. Had a great bar, beautiful mahogany bar. And drinks were fantastic. I don't know. Maybe it was just my body was in great condition then, but the drinking was great in those days. And I don't think they make booze like they did then. And then, let's see here. We had a wrecked airplane up atop somewhere. And the Quonset Hut area kind of reminded me of a MASH compound. Remember the TV show MASH? So, on the website, on the cryptological website, those black and whites are really something. They're boss. We can look at the wrecked airplane and say, I've been there. Look at that picture of a wrecked airplane somewhere on the website. Let's see if I can... no, that's better not mess around here. Got too many pieces of paper on the Perspex canopy here and taped up, and I can't really get too organized, can I? Let's see here. So, anybody out to the Sitka Lodge? Yes, you must get orders for it to go out in the Willowas and wait for the donut truck to arrive at nighttime. Or burn detail. Holy smoke. 1967, what a year. They were all good years. I hated that place. I hate The Rock. No, I love The Rock. I'd love to go back there, wouldn't you? And, you know, the thing about leisure and relaxing and off-duty and then doing the dorm field days, yeah, that was even that was fun. Playing the tapes, radio and stuff like that. So I'm from NAVCOMSE ADAC in 67, and the host of the Steve Phillips Show on Mighty 890. You can hear it on my website. Just better to Google Chuck Weber, KISN, but you can get there by going to radiodiscjockey.homestead.com. There's a lot of tapes there. There's over a half a dozen ADAC tapes that have great music on them. And we had the great rock group, The Invaders. On the last tape, the last program, I said it was The Intruders. No, they were from Jersey or Philly or somewhere. These were The Invaders. And they made the song On ADAC that was copying the song The Drifters on Broadway from the late 60s. So The Invaders was the name of our group in the 60s. My first job was in the scullery, where Verrell, V-E-R-R-E-L, was the boss. Also, I loaded ships, or unloaded them, huh? And a funny thing, living in the Chow Hall dorm, one night, while lying on my rack, head in my pillow, with the T-shirt and the shorts thing there, I guess it was warm enough to do that, I heard the floor polisher working. I mean, the lights were off, and here was the floor polisher mysteriously purring down its way down the hall, between the racks, rather, towards Farnham's bed. And he was the dorm chief, or whatever you call him in those days. Anyway, you guys know. And so he decided to polish off Farnham's head. And you could hear loud words, and you knew it was the polisher that woke Farnham up out of a good slouch. Good, I must have had a good dream there going on. Meanwhile, Smitty was over in near, I believe, Andrews Bay, out in the water tower, in the wooden water tower, double bunks, his radio, and he had that cabin out there on the stilts, and it was an amazing place, trap door, and so he'd take his chicken from the chow hall and go out there and spend the weekend, or his, the break out there, and eating the sourdough and drinking white lightning. That was what he did. And at least that's my story about good old Smitty from Iowa. He's the only guy who didn't get a Dear John letter from his girlfriend. All the rest of us did during our first 6 months or so in the military. It shows you what the women were out for in those days, not to speak against all you fine wives out there. Where the Willowa Blows by Leonard Feinberg. Where the Willowa Blows is based on Feinberg's two-year stint, 1944 and 5, as a naval officer on ADAC in the Aleutians. In this darkly humorous novel, Feinberg turns a sardonic eye on the foibles of military life while he memorializes the quiet heroism of some of the men who were stationed on one of the bleakest military outposts of World War II. Dr. Leonard Feinberg is Distinguished Professor Emeritus of English at Iowa State University. He taught courses in American literature, creative writing, and satire. Internationally respected, he's an author of humor and satire. There's a number of books, Introduction to Satire, Asian Laughter, The Secret of Humor, Hypocrisy, Don't Leave Home Without It, The E.T. Visitor's Guide to the USA. And you can read about it if you Google it, I guess. And that was Dr. Leonard Feinberg. All right. A special email discount offer was being offered by Pilgrim's Process of Boulder, Colorado. And he asked for the money up front, for the check. And, okay, it's interesting. Okay, thank you, you guys, from the U.S. Naval Cryptological Veterans Association for that information there. New novel about HADAC. Alrighty. And kind of moving along now. So that's it for this file. Come back again soon at yavayahweh.name/HADAC.html. I'm Steve Weber.